into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Yes, you're welcome along. Joe Malloy with you this evening. We are expecting the grim news around 9 o'clock this evening to be confirmed level 5 to a soft level 5. Coming our way for a reported 6 weeks is the word Neil Martin expected to speak at 9 o'clock. We will bring you his speech live on the show. We've been doing that quite a bit lately. These are strange times. Before all of that, though, Ronan O'Gara will join us on a Six Nations week. Thoughts on an epic European final as well. Plus, Pat Nevin, earlier than advertised, he'll be with us around 8 o'clock this evening talking Merseyside derby, an old firm win for Rangers, and a miracle comeback, frankly, from West Ham yesterday, amongst other things. 53106 is the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, good evening to you.
How are you, Joe? You well?
I'm all right, obviously. And news across the day, leaks across the day, pointing only one way, my man.
Yeah, the weird thing is, I said it to Dan McDonald earlier on Twitter, how less tolerant people have become for leaks. And I know everybody's affected by this, so it's not necessarily your usual government level leaks. But that lag time between the actual leak and the fruition of the story doesn't seem to be accepted by people anymore in the way that it was before. The cycle moves so fast and people's needs to be on top of the situation as quickly as possible is such that people just aren't putting up with these leaks anymore, wherever they happen to be coming from. And you would think that some sense will be seen. We might see an end to that kind of stuff going on, because in sporting terms, you talk about it as being gamesmanship or mind games or that kind of nonsense that a manager would indulge in a Friday afternoon press conference. It's not something where businesses and lives are at stake that people at government level should be indulging in, really.
Gavin Riley is with us, political correspondent on Virgin Media News and, of course, presenter of On the Record here on News Talk on Sunday mornings. Gav, thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy evening for you. You might put some meat on the bone, this soft level 5 for 6 weeks. What are we looking at?
Well, as regards on a national scale, before you start dealing with specific sporting context, what we're looking at is people being broadly told to stay in their houses and only go out for their daily exercise within 5 kilometres of their home for the next 6 weeks. That is supposed to apparently be reviewed after 4 weeks, but we're looking as if it is a 6 week restriction for the time being. There will be a certain number of exceptions to the level 5 that was advertised in the official booklet and in the wall chart that was sent around to every home. So, for example, it wasn't always necessarily set in stone that every school or every college or every creche or childcare facility would remain open under level 5, but we're told that for the foreseeable they will be remaining open. And as regards, obviously, from a sporting perspective, we are told now that there still will be elite sports going ahead, which was not originally provided for under level 5. Originally, when the plan was drafted 5 weeks ago, they said that if we were getting to level 5, that there wouldn't be any top level sport taking place, or any sport really at all, under any circumstances. But we're told from a sporting perspective, at least, that the same elite sports by and large, which were allowed to go ahead for the last couple of weeks and months, will continue to go ahead, albeit obviously with nobody being able to attend and only for televisual purposes only, basically.
Yeah, so for the RFU, I think there's €4 million at stake for these next two Six Nations games from a television point of view, and they're losing €5 million a month at the moment, so that will be very welcome news to them. Horse racing continues, professional football continues. The GAA is going to be, Gav, the big talking point over the next couple of days. As I understand it, the GAA will meet tomorrow to digest the move to level 5 and what it means for them. So, for instance, Leo Varadkar, a solo run, if you'll excuse the pun, and he's been doing this quite a bit lately. Matt Cooper last week, simple question. This is just 4 days ago. Is it feasible for the GAA season to go ahead with teams travelling around the country? Have a listen.
I think ultimately that is going to be a decision for the GAA, and they're the right ones to make it. I do think it's feasible, you know, for inter-county elite sports to continue. And, you know, we'll see international competitions, for example, continue. And I wouldn't like to see Irish teams or Irish athletes having to pull out of international competitions. But it is difficult for the GAA in particular because they're amateur athletes. You know, they can't be bubbled and cocooned in a way that, you know, premiership players can be, or even provincial rugby players can be. But it can be done. It obviously has to be done with no spectators.
But is it actually ultimately a decision for the GAA to make?
At the current levels it is, yeah. At level five it wouldn't be.
And even if we got to level five, would that mean no championship?
It would.
So absolutely emphatic. Varadkar has been exceptional at times over the last 6 months, Gav, but of late, confusing is the word. I mean, we saw on the back of that Sunday night with Neff at level five recommendation, he's on Clare Byrne the next night, stressing all the reasons against level five. 4 days ago, he is utterly emphatic that the GAA should not go ahead on level five, and now it's going ahead. And, you know, we're talking here Taunashta, we're talking medical background. Is he, like, unaware of the weight that his words carry when he's so emphatic? This still puts a pressure on the GAA. Like, those words have to loom large.
It probably is a case of not necessarily being aware of the weight that they carry, because Leo Varadkar, or those close to him, would probably always tell you that all he's doing is answering the question that he's asked with a straight bat. And strictly speaking, at the time that he was asked, you know, the level five, as it stood, as was official government policy, was that there wouldn't be any sporting events going ahead. So obviously it is something of a change in government policy, which is why Leo Varadkar would now claim that he's able to say something a little bit different. But of course, the fact that he didn't leave any wriggle room to it a couple of days ago will only add to the pressure the GAA is facing. It's already a very difficult scenario for the GAA to find itself in, because on the one hand, it does have this kind of almost romantic attachment that people have, that it's the one thing that might be the saving grace for the year is the existence of a GAA championship. And it's the one thing, particularly as we get into a cold and darker winter with, you know, slightly more miserable weather, the idea of being able to sit around the Sunday game or to talk about some of the great exploits or whether this will be Mayo's year. It's the sort of stuff that keeps you going. But at the same time, the GAA does obviously have to try and keep the welfare and the health and safety of its own players paramount first and foremost. And it's also in this difficult situation where, of course, it is straddling two different jurisdictions, and Northern Ireland will not be implementing, at least for the foreseeable, the same kind of strict lockdown that the Republic has. You know, even the restrictions that are introduced only last Wednesday morning were tantamount to the level three that we already had, and we've already moved some counties to level four, and now we're moving to a slightly adjusted version of level five. So it's a very difficult call for the GAA. Ultimately, the ball is now in their court, because there is no regulatory reason or anything in the law of the land, for example, to stop the GAA considering this and to say that they don't have the ability to control their own future. But there are obvious practical things that they have to roll in. For example, you know, even look at the Division 3 match between Clare and Fermanagh, and Fermanagh only able to pull together a panel of 18 players going down to fulfil a league match with only three substitutes on the bench. It was the Leitrim panel that were unable to fulfil their fixture against Down at the weekend. So already you're in a situation where panels are fairly threadbare. And if you could find a situation where, you know, in Ulster, with the way that the levels are, you could find squads really decimated there, and you could find a lot of fixtures, unfortunately, probably being conceded simply due to the volume of people who might be out of action, either having a positive case or awaiting the results of their own tests as well. So whether people want to see a championship that goes ahead where teams are flying on one wing, whether, you know, only on half power, and whether people want to see a championship, whether fixtures are awarded purely through default, through walkovers and scratches, or whether people simply want to have a championship at all, it's up to them. And I think even the GPA survey the other day that showed just how divided the playing population is only speaks to the difficult call the GAA now has ahead of it.
Yeah. So,
John, can I come in there for a second?
Well, I just want to jump in. Sorry, Rich. I just want to jump in. I want to play one clip, which very much goes to the point that Gav has made, and then by all means, Richie, I'll come to you. So here's Loud's Bevan Duffy. He's on LMFM over the weekend.
Were you happy yourself coming down here to play this game today, Bevan?
No, like, not particularly. I don't understand, like, with the case numbers going up, the way things are all around the country, how all of a sudden GAA inter-county footballers are all of a sudden immune to this. Like, we've teachers in that dressing room. We've lads living at home. A lot of lads living at home with their elderly parents. Like, it doesn't really make that much sense. Like, the lads driving it seem to be, a lot of former players seem to be driving it, but they're lads who are writing up the articles and have their TV gigs. like it's the protocols need to be better, without a doubt. There hasn't been any testing at all, which I can't get my head around at all. Surely before the start of the National League campaign, every inter-county squad should have been tested. Simple as. That would take a lot of pressure off. Like, that would put your mind at ease a bit, but you don't know. Like, what if someone tests positive on either of these squads today, next Tuesday or something, and there's lads after playing two matches here in Páirc Uí Chaoimh and then going back to their homes and back all over Cork and all over Louth. Like, then the lack of testing, the zero testing is... I just can't understand it.
I mean, because there was a lot of criticism of the GA and their stance during the week or whatever, and I think it did come a big surprise, and it certainly came as a surprise to me that there actually had been no testing in the run-up to today's resumption.
Yeah, every time I've said it to someone, they've been like, they couldn't believe me. They wouldn't believe me. They're like, yeah, you can't be serious. I don't understand it one bit. Like, and the people are saying, oh, well, it's not really coming from GAA teams. If you're not being tested, you're not going to get any positive tests. So, I don't understand it. Like, hopefully now with the GPA vote that went through last week, the GPA have been very proactive on the whole thing throughout the summer, in fairness, and hopefully that something will come of that. Like, it can't be a case of if you have symptoms, you get tested. Like, people need to be tested. There need to be either the whole squad tested or random testing every week, but something needs to be done, because it's not right to put this sort of burden on amateur lads. We're not professional rugby players or professional soccer players who can go into these bubbles if they need to be, or getting paid to do this. We're amateurs. We all have day-to-day jobs. We spend our Monday to Friday mingling with everyone in shops, just like anyone else. We're not in a bubble.
That's the Louth player Bevan Duffy speaking on LMFM over the weekend. Yes, Richie.
Yeah, on the Varadkar comments last week to Matt, he can't really claim ignorance on that one. I know Gav mentioned that he was only essentially describing the level 5 restrictions as they lay at the time, which is not necessarily true, because it was a matter of record that Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, had written to the CMO Tony Holohan to ask for clarification over what level 5 essentially would mean, as several days before Radcar was on the last word. And it was stipulated in that letter, which is available online. Anybody can find a printed version of it on the OTB Sports website last week. It essentially says that Elite Sport would not be part of it. So Radcar either wasn't aware of that letter or decided to go on a solo run and say that it wouldn't be, Elite Sport wouldn't be covered by that. And on the testing there that Bevan Duffy mentions there, it's essentially the GAA have backed themselves into a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation. They mentioned beforehand, Fergal McGill was asked about this, I believe, before the inter-county season resumed, and he said that there would be rapid testing in place for counties who required it, but that rapid testing would only be in place where essentially there had been a confirmed case of COVID-19 within the squad or within the staff, and that they needed essentially to clear everybody else to play whatever fixture was upcoming and whatever needed to be fulfilled at that time. So the testing is not in place just as a matter of course. Like, if a team has a match on, they don't get tested just because the match exists. They will get that rapid testing in place if they have a positive case on the squad and they basically want everybody else to be cleared. In Fermanagh's case, for instance, to get cleared to play at the weekend, even though 10 members of their panel have been struck by COVID-19 and a few others were close contact. So that's a hole that very much needs plugging, because as Bevan mentioned there, they're going to find themselves in a situation whereby, you know, we don't know whether teams are infected at the time that they take to the field, whereas there are other sports, like, we knew almost in minute detail who didn't have, in terms of numbers at least, COVID-19 on the Republic of Ireland squad last week. And similarly, we'll know, as we have done with the provinces, if there's anybody unavailable this week for Ireland, because they all get this PCR testing, however accurate it might be or not. But we know either way going into a match whether or not somebody is clear to play, and that's just not the case in the GAA.
That point that Richie just made there, Joe, sorry if I can jump in there, the point that Richie makes about Stephen Donnelly writing to the CMO, it's a very fair point, but it's sort of underlines some of the convenience that the government has almost in sort of passing the buck on some decisions. Because if Stephen Donnelly is writing to the chief medical officer asking what is permitted under level 5, what he's asking someone outside government to do is to clarify government policy for him, because the 5-level plan was not drawn up by NPHET, it was drawn up by the government. And in fact, at the press conference, when it was published only 5 months ago, I asked the Taoiseach on the record, and it was televised and you can watch it back, what's to say we're not going to find ourselves falling between levels in future, where you're going to be asked to deviate from these five set levels that you've written out. And Micheál Martin said, well, no, this is government policy now. We've set this. We've adopted this. And these are our rules. Mm. So already you have a situation where the government has decided to dispense with its own rules. And now it's obviously inviting other people to interpret its own rules or to try and offer some sort of elucidation as to the consequences of its own decisions, which is, to be fair, not a great look.
No.
As regards, you know, whether it's appropriate for panels to be travelling. I mean, take, for example, the county that I know best is Meath, and Meath has, you know, gone from 0 to 60 in terms of COVID infection rates in the last couple of weeks. You have a situation now where you've got, you know, county footballers who are looking down the barrel of maybe taking a trip to Clonus to play Monaghan in a league match this weekend. Monaghan is another county that's right up at the top. And you have to argue really whether, on the balance of probabilities, whether it's appropriate to be making that kind of a journey and whether you consider it to be essential. And it might be essential for the, you know, the health and gaiety of the nation, but it might not really be essential for some of those players who, as Richie said, might be living with older panelists. And, you know, my dad's involved in the back room for the Meath Hurlers. They're supposed to be going down to Tralee to play a Joe McDonough match against Kerry next coming weekend as well. You have to argue whether it's appropriate to be making a journey like that down to a county which is doing all right, like Kerry, potentially with a transmission risk where you might be asymptomatic but could still give it to any one of the Kerry players. And, you know, there's a lot of balances to be struck up, and it's a call which the GAA maybe shouldn't have to make on behalf of every player, but all the clearly the GAA is going to find itself having to make sooner rather than later.
You used the phrase passing the buck. That is exactly what has happened here today. Let's be under no illusions. Leo Varadkar was emphatic 4 days ago. Not that much can have changed. And I suspect they're all very aware of how popular the GAA is, and they don't want to be the ones to make that decision and take the abuse. They are playing politics, in my opinion. This romantic notion that it will lift all our spirits and the gaiety of the nation is at stake here with GAA happening, let's give ourselves all a bit more credit. You know, we can live without it, absolutely. Even the most diehard GAA fan has a lot more going on in their life. Bevan's point there, the lead footballer, there is no bubble. The testing isn't good enough in his opinion or in his experience. Lots of the players live with vulnerable people or vulnerable parents, and, you know, the lads who are pushing for this are quite often the columnists, and they're not the ones that we're asking to make these journeys. This is passing the buck on an extraordinary level, and now the GAA have to sit down tomorrow at level five and say, we have no bubble. We've no bubble. We're not rugby, we're not football, and we even saw the football bubble pierced, despite largely best practice, the flight aside.
And even
they have to sit down and say, well, what do we do now? And I don't think they should be in that position.
Well, I mean, look at it, even at the most, at the highest level of professional sport, you know, you mentioned that the FAI and the issues that it had. You had situations where Cristiano Ronaldo, a 5 or 6-time Ballon d'Or winner, you know, contracted it even despite all the best practice that would have been pursued by the Portuguese FA. And obviously, that's a very difficult thing. I mean, it's a very, very difficult call. And I really don't know if even the GAA should be left in a position where it has to make a national decision as to whether it's appropriate for county panels comprised of lads from 20 or 25 or even 30 different parishes should all be coming together and mixing in ways which may not really be considered.
But Gav, of course they shouldn't. Just think about the sentence you've just said as we are telling people this week to shut down their businesses. You know, and like, we've got to get businesses open again ASAP and do everything we can to get on top of this disease. That extends to GAA. I mean, think the sentence you just said there, the concoction of different jobs, different parts of the country coming together, traveling to other parts of the country, like, madness.
Yeah, and it's part of the difficulty that we've had. And we were only discussing this on the record yesterday morning as well, that there are some in society who kind of have this position now that they believe that if COVID-19 only really has really adverse medical effects on those who are vulnerable or immunosuppressed or basically older, that they want those people to stay out of the way and that the rest of society should be allowed to go back to its lives. But you have the situation where you have lads on county panels who are living with elderly relatives. You know, you've guys who might be living with other people who work in nursing homes. And as long as you have higher, you know, community rates of infection, then it doesn't really matter what you do. You always have to take into account the fact that more interaction results in more transmission and more infections, and more people, unfortunately, you know, end up having to go to hospital or having really adverse health consequences as a result. And, you know, much as I, like anyone else, would love to be talking about the action on the field, particularly after the quiet summer that we had, it's very, very difficult really to make any sort of excuse or any sort of scenario to be portrayed where this is inherently a good idea. Now, whether the GAA might argue for economic grounds that it needs to make sure that it fulfills its obligations to make sure that it's got the money to bail out counties and to bail out clubs who are going to be going through a really torrid time as a result of the loss of revenue that they've had you know, for the last couple of months. That's a thing they're going to have to take involved as well. But objectively, it's very difficult to see, much as we'd all love to think otherwise. It's difficult to imagine how this is the sort of, you know, acceptable or the sort of indispensable behaviour that we really should be considering at a time like this, unfortunately.
Yeah. Listen, we'll let you go. I know you're busy. A very last quick one. Richie mentioned all the leaks. I get half these lads texting you from the cabinet table at this stage. Like, it's open season.
Believe it or not, actually today's announcement, or today's, well, semi-announcement, obviously, because it hasn't been announced yet. We'll have it announced in about an hour and a half's time. Today's news that the proposal was going to be level five had actually managed to emerge before Micheál Martin got into the cabinet room to chair the meeting. And I know there was a little bit of annoyance inside the room that, again, you had 5 hours of the country, you know, really in the doldrums trying to think about this. This is the consequence of slow decision making. One thing that we did have, and I don't say this to defend that government at all, but when we did have the previous governments, the minority government of the caretakers, you know, Leo Varadkar was very careful about making sure that there was no leaking, because when he announced the national lockdown at a press conference at 8:30 on a Friday night, he didn't want there to be panic buying. He wanted it to be a little bit of a shock, but he wanted there to be this sense of command and control. Unfortunately, we now have a situation where there's three parties in government. You have several ministers who receive Neffert's recommendations. They're all surrounded by big kitchen cabinets. So there are an awful lot of people who are, you know, in receipt of this advice, plus the 40 people who are on Neffert itself. There's a lot of people who get the information. And if you want to take your time and make sure that you have a properly rounded decision, it's very difficult to stop that information from getting out. Paper isn't going to refuse ink. You know, airwaves aren't going to refuse content. So if we're going to be given that information, or if we're able to get it in some way, of course, we're going to do that. Yeah. But unfortunately, the nature of slow decisions that are made by larger committees is that when a lot of people are in possession of the info, it's going to get out one way or another.
Gavin Riley, political correspondent on Virgin Media News, presenter of On the Record here in News Talk on Sunday mornings as well. Thanks for the time, Gavin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, lads.
We are in the midst of the news round with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. Richie, beyond all that, yeah, what's going on in the world that you want to bring people?
Yeah, around 6.5 minutes to go in this evening's SSE Electricity Premier Division game at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. It's currently Derry City 1, Dundalk 2. Jordan Flores and Sean Murray with the goals for the Lilywhites. Darren Cole pulled them back for Derry. There was a 5:30 start to the first of this evening's two Premier League games, full time at the Hawthorns, and it's West Brom 0, Burnley 0, the final score there. Leeds could climb as high as third in the Premier League table with a win at home to Wolves. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. Leinster confirming today that Jordan Larmour will be out of action until February. The fullback required surgery on a dislocated shoulder and will need 16 weeks to recover. It's hoped Larmour will be fit in time for the 2021 Six Nations, but his teammate Gary Ringrose says he'll be missed this autumn.
Yeah, I'm gutted for him. You know, you never like seeing anyone pick up an injury, but it's kind of just the nature of the game. Unfortunately, we've all been there. But yeah, I'm gutted the timing-wise for him coming into this block internationally. I know he's someone that would have been mad excited to attack the opportunity that we have. So, I mean, he's such a quality player, and I love playing with him and learning off him every time we play, because he sees things and does things that a lot of us can't do. So I definitely miss him in that regard, and I know all of our thoughts are with him to get his body right, and I've no doubt he'll be humming come whatever is it, 2 or 3 months time, or 3 months time down the line.
Text in: government playing politics with the GA lads, impossible position for them, says Derek. Yeah, I think so as well. I like, they've just been left tomorrow to try and figure this out, and there's such division in the GA, Richie, that they can't win. They can't win on this one.
Yeah, like that that survey that came out, the results of the survey that came out late last week from the GPA, there was, what, 24% didn't want to continue with the championship as things stand. Was another 24% would only go on, or wanted to only go on, if the COVID-19 protocols were improved. Was a 52% then said they would go on regardless. But like, there is a massive... it's half of the GPA survey. Like, it's a sample size, whatever it was, 1,600, nearly 1,700 players. But half of those, you imagine it's an accurate representation of the whole. They say that things need to improve. And it touches on what Bevan Duffy mentioned there in that clip speaking to LMFM. Like, they need to be tested. If you're going to treat them like, if they're going to be considered elite level sport, which is what they're being grouped under here, with the restrictions not applying to intercounty, then they needed to be treated like every other elite level sport. So if you're a member of the rugby team, you're getting tested. If you are taking part in a major high ranking golf event in this country, you will be tested. If you are going off to play for the Irish soccer team, you will be tested. There's no reason why like private testing is available to the general public as well. Like it does cost, but it is available and you're able to get your results back within the span of a day or two. And it's open to teams as well. That's what they're using with this PCR testing. It needs to be there for the inter-county teams as well. It's just if you're going to test them, it needs to be there in place of them, because there's no excuse for that situation that Bevan Duffy mentioned there, whereby nobody knows if anybody's carrying because nobody's been tested. That's just criminal.
Mm. Where are we going next?
We'll go to Abbottstown. Andy Farrell is a full squad to choose from ahead of Saturday's Six Nations meeting with Italy. Peter O'Mahony and Chris Farrell both joined the squad today after completing periods of isolation. Harry Byrne, Craig Casey and Finian Witcherly have been released to Munster ahead of their Monday evening fixture next week with Cardiff. Dave Kearney and James Tracy back at Leinster. But James Lowe, interestingly, remains with the Ireland squad despite not becoming eligible until the Autumn Nations Cup games in November. And Everton goalkeeper Jordan Pickford will not be punished for a bad tackle on Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk. It's because the FA will only consider retrospective action for incidents not seen by match officials on the pitch or at VAR headquarters at Stockley Park. The video replay system looked at Pickford's challenge during Saturday's Premier League match at Goodison and decided he shouldn't be sent off. Van Dijk is facing months on the sidelines due to ACL surgery. Meanwhile, Merseyside police are investigating a number of offensive tweets sent to Pickford and Richarlison. The Brazilian was sent off in that game for a foul on Thiago. Thiago could also be coming away from the game injured, and police say they are taking those reports extremely seriously.
Okay, Rich, we will park it there for the time being. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow evening. That's Richard McCormack with the News Round. We'll bring you Micheál Martin's speech around 9 o'clock or so live and get some further reaction to it as well. And obviously, if there's any word from the GA, we'll bring that to you as well. In the meantime, we have some Pat Nevin on the way. We've got Ron Nogara as well.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.